It's great to see you all. Welcome, Haven't Sight Grace Church. What a great day to be talking about the church. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. That's what we're going to be looking at. We are following this series at Grace Church Foundation Series. And each Sunday, there's a preach or a talk which is appropriate for the week that we're in. So if you're on this course, you'll already have one of these. If you would like to buy one of these books, you can see Paul at the admin desk at the end and you can buy yourself one. So today, I'm going to be talking about the church. Now, this is like the broad view of the church. And next week, our lead elder, David Thompson, is going to be talking about more intimately of how do you behave in a church? How do you fit in a church? How do you belong? And more importantly for us, what is Grace Church all about? What's the vision of Grace Church? And what are we doing? How can you be a part of that? So today we're going to do a big sweep of what is the church. Now, the world's view of the church, to be honest, is not that great, is it? It's a little bit like, in a way, your Vespa group, the motorbikers, because although that looked nice, it was smart, but we don't look that good, do we? And we don't look that smart, most of us. And when you walk into a church as just a human being walking in the door, we just see each other, don't we? And we are all so different. We are all ages and stages. We have all kinds of opinions and faults and gifts, and we're all broken in some way or another. And so when you look at us physically, you might not be that inspired. And in fact, the world often sees us that way. How many times has someone said to you, I won't go to church because it's full of hypocrites, or they say something negative? Indeed, in the dictionary, if you look up the word church, it says a building where Christians meet for services and functions. A building. So the view of the world really is that church is a building and that it's full of strange people. Okay? But today we're going to try and look at it with eyes of faith and see what God says about us. And I'm just going to pray now, because we really need God's help, don't we, to see ourselves as he sees us. So we'll just pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come visit us in a very special way now. I pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts. Give us the eyes of faith to lift our gaze this morning and to begin to see the church as you see the church. I ask that in your precious name. Amen. So let's have a look at the word for church in the Bible. Forget the English dictionary. If you look in the Bible, the Greek word for church in the New Testament was ecclesia. And that meant the whole body of the faithful. So there is nothing to do with a building, this term. This is a worldwide description. The whole body of the faithful. That's everyone who's ever lived before us, who's believed in Jesus Christ and followed God. That's us today, everyone alive on this earth today who loves God and is wanting to follow him. And that is when we're all dead, the next lot, the next generation, we are all included in this. It's a big group of people who all take their part. So it's the whole body of the faithful. And this was the New Testament Greek word that was used. But as we know, we all live in different nations on this planet. We have to have the job of translating these words into different languages. And it's so good that we have the original words to go back to, because it really helps us to trim up our understanding. So the next word is the Latin word was ecclesia. It came from the Greek. And in the Latin, in the days when the word was written in Latin, the New Testament, ecclesia meant assembly or congregation. Again, nothing to do with the building. Now, in the 17th century, in King Henry VIII's time, the first Bibles were written in the common language of English. And the word they used for ecclesia was congregation. There was the word church, English word church, is a very recent word. So this word congregation, you can see how it links back to the original Greek, Latin Greek. And sometime later, even Google doesn't know how much later, the word church was put into our Bibles. Okay, so today, when we're thinking about ourselves, I'm encouraging you to think about us as a whole body of faith, or a congregation, a group of believers, a fellowship, a gathering of people. So why would God want us to be in a gathering? Well, part of it is because that's who he is. His nature is communal, community. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when he wants when he says to us, let his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That is going to be communal. God is communal. He has fellowship with himself. He created us. And the whole thing is community based. So when you become a Christian, you make that decision as an individual. We all stand or fall before God individually. So you can't save someone else by your faith. It has to come as an individual. But as soon as you make that step, you are added to the church and you become part of that community. So let's just have a look at Matthew 16 for a minute. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Now, there's a lot of things you could say about this scripture, but we're just focusing on the church today. Peter recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And that didn't come from his own wisdom. It didn't come from flesh and blood. God revealed it to him. And in fact, that is how all of us come to God. We can only come if God reveals the truth to us. The scripture says the whole world is plunged into darkness. And the evil one has blinded the eyes of the people. But when God reveals himself to us, our faith is ignited. We believe. And it's a transaction that can only happen because God first loved us. So God wants us to respond to him, but he actually, before that even happens, it's invisible, but it's there. He makes the first move. So if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God today, well, thank God that he came and gave you that understanding. So we can't be proud. We're humbled because God chose us, and we love him because he first loved us. So when you get a revelation, and you know what? If you don't have it yet, you can ask for it. This is where we start with faith. You can pray and say, God, if you are real, this is where I started. Okay, God, not sure if you're real, but if you are real, I want this faith because I can see it's changed lives. I want what they've got. Please help me. Turn the lights on in me so I can understand this, so I can have faith. That's a good prayer to have. If you've prayed that prayer, God will answer it. And then he says to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. There's a lot of debate whether was he talking about that he'd build the rock on Peter? Was he building the rock on the revelation that he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God? There's a lot of debate about it. But what we do know is this. Simon recognized Jesus, and the next thing Jesus says to him is, church. You come as an individual, but you are going to be added to a family, a church. The gates of hell, Hades, will not overcome it. We know from church history, we know from our own lives that there is opposition to the church. That is a real thing, but we're not going to really look into that today. Last week it was spiritual warfare, wasn't it? So that was really covered there. Now, this word here, church, that was ecclesia. That was a new thing for the disciples to hear. This is the first time Jesus mentions the church. So what is going on here? This is where we have to look backwards to look forwards and to understand. The book of Hebrews makes it really clear to us that Abraham is the father of our faith. Now, he was in the New Testament, Old Testament. We find his story in the book of Genesis. Abraham is the father of our faith. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. In the same way as when we believe in Jesus Christ, he becomes our righteousness. When God spoke to Abraham, he said to him, go outside, look at the stars in the sky. That's how many children you're going to have. Look at the sand on the seashore. You can't count the grains. That's how many children you're going to have. And again, the book of Hebrews explains to us, we in the new covenant, in the New Testament, we are the children of promise. Abraham is our father by faith. We aren't genetically necessarily related to him, but by faith he became our father. So the church was actually in that vision of the stars and the sand. Now God, as we know, God chose a people of his own, a special people of his own, back in the Old Testament times, the Jewish nation, the Hebrews. And they lived with a law. They worshipped in a tabernacle, a tent. Then they worshipped in a temple. And then in synagogues. So they had this period of time where they had the temple. But they also worshipped in synagogues. Now they were buildings, weren't they? And the Jews were, I mean, this had been going on a very long time, that they'd had this journey with God. They were, in a way, quite settled with the way things were. But all the way through the Old Testament, there are hints that there's change coming. Many times in the Psalms, it says, a light to the Gentiles, and a light to the Gentiles. All over the Old Testament, there are passages which say, and the Gentiles. So the Jewish nation, they always knew that a day would come where the Gentiles would come in. But how do you judge when that time is? Well, Jesus was declaring it. He came and declared it. He said, I must come first to the lost sheep of Israel. But there are other sheep, not of this fold, and they must come in also. When he died on the cross, he died for the sins of the whole world. And it says in the Bible that when he died, he drew all people through the cross. So the Jews who believed in him became Christians, Jewish converts to Christianity. They started the church. But very quickly, all other nations started coming. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So the Bible says we have one new man in Christ now. So since the cross, the Jewish believers came into the church, the Gentiles started to be added into the church. This is a whole new entity, the church. And Jesus warned them, he said to them, a new wine needs a new wineskin. I believe the church is a new wine, was the new wineskin that he was talking about. The old had passed away. We move from an old covenant into a new covenant. And the vehicle that God was going to show his glory in was the church. So how does God describe the church? We're going to look at three different ways. The first one is this, a spiritual house. I haven't asked anyone if they need a Bible. Does anyone need to borrow a Bible this morning? You can put your hand up if you do. Most of it's going on the screen. Okay. So listen to this. As you come to him, this is 1 Peter 2, 4 to 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. The living stone, that's Jesus. He's the living stone. And we, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. I chose this wall because all the stones are different in here. They're all different shapes and sizes. And that's a picture of us. But look how strong that wall is. It's absolutely solid and strong, and yet each one is totally different shape. And I know which one I am. Which one do you think you are? But that could be a picture of Haven's sight. It could be a worldwide picture, but it could be a picture of us. Here we are in Haven, and God is knitting us together. God is putting us together as living stones. And look how we rely on each other. Every stone there is relying on the other one. It's a wonderful picture. of how God sees us, but also how we should see each other and value one another for that. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. These are all things that are our new identity when we come to Christ. We are no longer rejected, the walking wounded, the lost, wandering about in darkness. We don't know where we're going. When you come into the church, you are in God's kingdom. You are chosen. You have a royalness about you. It means you put your chin up and you stand tall, not because you've done anything clever, but because God has given you an inheritance. A holy nation, made holy through Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, those that were dirty and used for wrong purposes were made holy and set apart for God. And that's us. We are God's special possession. You should be proud of that. Not in a wrong way, but in a really good way. And grateful. I feel really grateful to God for that. That, I like the word that, it means because. Or so, that you may declare the praises of him. This is why we worship on a Sunday morning, that we may declare his praises. Because look what he's done for us. He called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. How do you get from one kingdom to another? You come to the cross. You humbly acknowledge that God's way is better. You acknowledge Jesus. He said, repent of your sins. Just say sorry for the whole lot, every way you've messed up, and put your faith in him. And that is how you move into light. And then you follow him with all the other stones. You don't have to do it alone. If I stumble, Joe will help me up. If Laurie stumbles, I will help her up. We don't do this alone. We need each other. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy, and it's our inheritance. Okay, let's look at another way that God describes us. It's a body. Let's look at Romans 12, 3-5 first. It's all on the screen. For by the grace given to me, that is Paul speaking, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to the others. The human body is God's masterpiece of biological engineering. We know how he formed Adam from the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living being. And here we all are, descended from that day. The body is God's design. And he not only gives us our own individual body, but he gives us one body. Again, it's the individual. We are accountable to God before God as we stand alone. But we don't live alone. We're in one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12 to 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. And we know from 1 Corinthians 12 that there is more teaching on this, that the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You know, if you are a foot or an ear in the body of Christ, don't put yourself down. In fact, the more humble the part you are, the greater you should be honoured, just as the body. And in fact, God nourishes and cares for us as a body. In 1 Corinthians 12 here it is again, the Jews and the Gentiles. We were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. This is, again, relating to one new man in Christ. It takes the divisions away, and it brings us together. This body, it's a worldwide, time-stretching body, starting from the first days in the early church to the end of the age when Jesus will return. And God loves us. He loves his body. He is building his church. He is building this church in heaven. It's not Joe or any of us here. We're cooperating with what the Holy Spirit is doing. God is building his church. He loves us. We are a body, and he will feed us and look after us. But let's honour one another. Let's look after one another. Let's serve one another. Let's encourage one another. Amen? And the last thing we're going to look at today is the third picture is of a bride. Now we're just going to look in, we're going to look into the book of Revelation now. This is a book with highly figurative language, very poetic. There's lots of riddles in it. There's lots of things I don't understand. But nonetheless, don't be put off by the book of Revelation. There is a lot in it that is understandable. And even though we don't understand everything, because it's mysterious, it's designed to be mysterious, there is a lot that we can glean from it. So this image of a bride, let's have a look at this. John was on an island, Greek island, I think, Patmos, something like that. And he had the vision, a waking vision, excuse me, where Jesus revealed incredible things to him. So this is John speaking. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I'm just going to go into Ephesians because I just want to add to this to get this picture. Now, in Ephesians, God speaks to us again about the bride. And he links this totally with the image of the husband and wife. In fact, it's such amazing language, you can't untangle it from God and the church. So I'm just going to read this. From Ephesians 5:22. Now, before I read it, this is normally read out in the context of marriage. How do you work out marriage as a Christian couple? And there's a lot of things that people get upset about in it. But try to move that kind of to the side of your head. And look at it as Christ in the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body. So here's the body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That was on the cross. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water. I think that's baptism. And the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. God doesn't see our stains and wrinkles. He sees us through Jesus Christ and the blood shed on the cross. And he will present us. God will present us to his son in marriage as a beautiful bride. All the tears and crying will have gone. The old order has passed away. It's a really beautiful image. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. This is how God loves us. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body. He feeds it and cares for it. Just as Christ does the church, so Christ feeds us and cares for us. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. When Jesus sees the bride, he's engaged to the bride. And we look at ourselves, don't we, and think, really? You love us? You know, look at all our faults and failings and shortcomings. he said, yeah, but I love you. I'm coming back for you. You're my bride. Sim, could you come back up, please? So, I don't know about you, but I just feel really grateful. I really feel grateful for what God has done and how he's building us. And here we are in heaven, 1 year on, and we're living stones. We're building together, we're knitting together. It's really a lot to, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Let me read a bit more from Revelation. John said, one of the seven angels came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. This is the church. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. And Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. The city is the church. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free water of life. Would you like to stand with me? There's one last scripture here, and I think maybe we could all say it together out loud as a kind of prayer over ourselves. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Are you like me? Are you happy you're part of the bride? Can you sing with me, come Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So let's worship God and ask him to come.